Here's Pastor Brian as he begins a week of questions and answers.
Welcome, everybody, to today's program. All this week, we're going to be answering questions that relate to the difficult passages of Scriptures, questions that people have asked of us. And I think of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, which says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." So today we're going to be answering questions, some of the difficult parts of the Bible that many people often ask. And today we have in studio with us Robert Jaramillo, who will be helping us answer these questions. So Rob, welcome to the program today.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Let's get right into it, and let's ask questions today that relate to the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Okay, Pastor Brian, the first question we have today is, how can one find out what my spiritual gift is?
You know, that's an excellent question, and so often I think people are frustrated. They want to be used by the Lord, but they don't know what direction to go in. And so there's a couple passages of Scripture that relate to that point. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, "As each one has received a gift." And so it does here indicate that every believer has received at least one gift, probably several or a few of them. And so it says each believer has received a gift. And that word gift is the word charisma, which comes from the Greek word charis, which means a thing of grace. So that's why we translate it gift. So it's not something a believer earns. It's something that's given to them by the grace of God. And he says what to do with that gift: minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And so the best way to find out what that spiritual gift is to use it. Now you say, well, that doesn't help me. Well, I believe that God gives you desires in your heart. Maybe you have a desire to pray. Maybe that's the real gift that God's given you, is that gift of intercession. Start using that gift. Or maybe you have a desire to work with elderly people, visiting the convalescent hospital, serving people with that heart of compassion. Or maybe the Lord's given you the desire to teach the Bible and you're always studying. Well, you need to get past the point of just studying and then eventually start teaching people the Word of God, and that gift of teaching will manifest itself. And so the role here is for you to first see what desires God's given to you, and those are probably where your gifts are going to line up. I've simply found that the way the Lord works in many people's lives is that He gives you a desire, or we'd call it a burden from the Lord, that we want to be used by Him in a particular area, and then also along with that burden, He's going to equip you to minister effectively. So the bottom line is, what has God put in your heart? Move in that direction, make yourself available to serve others as good stewards of this grace that God's given to you. And so that seems to be the best way to discover it. It's not as if you need to take some test or have some revelation from God. You just need to make your life available, and those gifts manifest themselves in that process.
All right, next question we have here, a real popular one, a lot of people want to know about. The question is, do all speak in tongues?
Well, that one has been asked and will continue to be asked. Although I do believe the Scriptures do give an answer to that question, a very clear one. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, first of all, it says, "But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills." So the key here is that it's right after He's just listed the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues is one of those, He says the Holy Spirit sovereignly chooses who will receive which gifts. And the way God has designed the body of Christ is He's brought certain members to a local congregation, and He will distribute the gifts that are needed to fulfill that ministry. And so the Holy Spirit has it all under control of which gifts will be distributed to whom. So it's not that we get to choose which ones we want, but it's up to the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit. Now, as He comes to the end of chapter 12, Paul asks a series of questions and about the giftings in the church. In verse 28 of chapter 12, 1 Corinthians, it says, "And God has appointed these things in the church: first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues." Then he's going to ask some questions, and the obvious answer is no to all of these questions. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? And we'd say no, no, no to all those. Do all have gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? Why would we want to answer yes after that, after you have all these no's? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? And so here the obvious answer to every one of those. Not everyone's apostles or prophets or pastors or teachers or evangelists or workers of miracles. So not all are going to receive the gift of tongues. There's a big difference between desiring to be used by the Lord and in which gifts the Holy Spirit will impart. We always have to remember that the Holy Spirit is a third person of the Trinity. He is sovereign God, and he doesn't respond to us. He distributes the gifts in the body as he desires. And if we need that gift, it'll be given to us. Now, I will say, along with that, though, there are people that are afraid of the gift of tongues, mm-hmm. probably because they've seen some of the abuses that have taken place, and I could understand that to a degree, but the scriptures aren't against the gift of tongues. Paul's just trying to put them in their proper place and how they should and should not be used within the church. And it's definitely clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that Paul says not the entire church at one time should speak in tongues, because if someone is an unbeliever or doesn't know about the gifts, they'll come in and they'll think that you are mad or you are crazy, and that happens today. But that doesn't mean Paul is against the gift of tongues, because in a couple places in 1 Corinthians 14, he says this about tongues. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he says this about the gift of tongues. In verse 18, he says, I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than you all. So obviously, Paul the apostle saw the benefit of this gift and used it quite often. But then in verse 19, he says, yet in the church, I'd rather speak 5 words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in the tongue. So it's not that I'm downgrading this gift. It just has a proper place. And it's not for the entire church to speak out in tongues at once. Paul says he did this often. Yet in the church, he would rather speak words that people could understand. And so we need to be careful that we don't close our heart off to this gift of tongues. Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, Paul says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. And so I think that's the real key, as well as to the first question you asked, is how do I know my spiritual gift? We should be desiring all the power that God has available through the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit, making our lives available. And then whatever gifts come along, we settle with that, we rejoice in that, and then we're used in God's kingdom according to God's will, according to the gifts that he's given to us.
You know, it's interesting too, this whole section, when we really read through how Paul instructs about this, is the main point he's trying to say is you should prophesy instead, edify, comfort, and exhort. And I mean, if you guys have to speak in tongues, go ahead. But this is what you should pursue, especially that verse you mentioned in 4:21, but especially that you may prophesy.
That would benefit more of the body of Christ than if someone was speaking in tongues, which they'd receive personal edification.
I hope I don't throw you off by asking you the second part to this question here. But a lot of, you know, there are churches that teach that tongues are an evidence of salvation or that they're necessary to show one is saved. Is there something you would like to comment on that?
Well, that's an unfortunate extreme error that's happened within the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And there's groups such as the Apostolic Church, such as some extreme charismatic churches that say that speaking in tongues is the evidence of the baptism with the Holy Spirit, or some would claim that you must speak in tongues in order to be saved. And basically that would fly against the entire message of the gospel that we find throughout so many passages of Scripture, mm-hmm. that it is by faith in Jesus Christ alone. Basically what man tries to do is add some sort of work, whether it is speaking in tongues or whether you want to apply baptism or church membership, on and on and on. They want to apply something to simple faith in Jesus Christ. And one passage I think would suffice as an example of a multitude of passages where Paul says in Romans chapter 1, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. And so here the gospel is the power of God to salvation. You believe and you're saved. It doesn't say believe and speak in tongues or believe and be a good church member. It says believe, and there's power in that message as you have faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Once again, it's getting your eyes off of Christ and putting your eyes on something that you must do. Now, here's where the problem comes in. If you're in one of those groups, you may just force yourself to speak in tongues because you want to make sure that you're saved, or you don't want to be the outcast in that group. Well, that guy's quenching the spirit, or he's not very spiritual. So I think there is a lot of false speaking in tongues because of the pressure that happens to people, and that's extremely unfortunate. It's by the grace of God, and it's not by the pressure to manifest some gift. As we saw earlier, the Spirit must impart these gifts, and he clearly says that not all will speak with tongues.
That is important, too. In the book of Romans, the whole purpose was to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ, what it is to be saved in salvation. And in all of that, not one point does Paul mention tongues.
That's a good point, because in 16 chapters, he doesn't mention tongues at all. And just thinking and concluding on this issue of the gift of tongues, Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 puts the priority. The priority is love and not the gifts or even the power of the Holy Spirit, where Paul will say in verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I have become as a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And so here it doesn't matter if someone claims to speak in tongues, if they don't have love as a dominant aspect of their life, then it doesn't matter what gift they may be proclaiming to have. The focus is on the love that is generated by the power of the Holy Spirit within a person's life. And people do get caught up all on this tongues issue, and that's unfortunate. It has its place, but Paul even mentions it as really the last gift. There's first apostles and prophets, he goes on, and then the last one that he mentions is speaking in tongues and also interpretation. So that shouldn't be the focus of a person's spiritual experience, but the priority needs to be love. And once that is set, then the gift of tongues will find its proper place in a person's life. I hope that these answers to these questions have helped you today on this topic of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit.